We had a wonderful time here Wednesday evening, and some of our children from the youth group shared some songs with us, and Dawson wanted to sing his song today, so we're going to ask him to do that now.
Glory land. Oh, sorry. Glory land is not so far away, and will be reached some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final goal, there to be while ages roll.
I want to, again, ask your prayers. I want to call your attention to just a couple of verses of Scripture, if you'd like to turn and read with me, in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And that's my scripture reading here before you this morning. And I want to speak to you today about the terror of the Lord. I want to, especially today, speak to those of you who are not saved. And so I'm going to ask you today, if you're here and you're lost, I want to ask you to give attention today to the word of the Lord. If you're here today and you're confused about where you stand with the Lord, then you please do the same. In the 10th verse that I read, the Apostle Paul here said, "For we must all appear." And we find that word, we use that word still a lot today in our everyday language. We find that word must recorded different times in the Scriptures. And it implies that it is absolute. Jesus used that word when he was speaking to Nicodemus. And it's recorded in John chapter 3. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And that word, it may seem like a small word to us and a word sometimes we use lightly, but when it is said that something must be, If that's properly understood, it means that it is absolutely imperative. It has to be that way. And so Paul wrote and said, we must all appear. And we're going to have to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, for the purpose that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so I want you to notice that in these two verses that I have read before you, that the Apostle Paul had spoken of the fact that all people, he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that all people must stand before God in the day of his righteous judgment. And it was with that thought in mind, I believe, that what he wrote and stated what we have recorded in the next verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. And I believe that when the Apostle Paul in verse 11, when he spoke about having knowledge of the terror of the Lord, that he was reflecting back to what he had said concerning the fact that we must all appear before God in the day of judgment. Now, the Bible mentions to us a God, the God, that is a terrible God. And I want you to understand that word. I remember one time I was preaching years ago, and I made the statement, and the Bible makes this statement about the fact that God is a terrible God. And I don't want the young people here, especially today, to misunderstand that. There was a young girl about 10 years old in the audience when I said that really got upset. And she, when they went home, she told her mother that Brother Miller got up and said God was terrible. And, you know, but what that is talking about, when the Bible talks about that, it talks about the same thing that Paul was writing about here, the terrible God, that God has a great terror. And that one day that's going to be exercised upon people. Now, the world today, in the much of the religious world today, and I'm sure that you've heard this said before, and I'm sure that no doubt many of you have heard somebody say it, but among much of the religious world today, there are people that don't want to talk about that. They don't want to present that kind of God to people. All they want to speak about is what the Bible tells us about God being a God of love. Well, God is a God of love. He is a loving God. That's the reason that he gave his only begotten Son, you know, to die on the cross for our sins, because he loved the world to that extent. But the Bible also teaches us about a God that exercises wrath. The Bible teaches us about a God that despises sin, and that one day he's going to bring, God has already judged in many ways and he continues to judge. I believe that there are things that we see happen from time to time throughout our life. We may not recognize them properly, but I believe there are things that happen, you know, and come upon the human family from time to time throughout the years of their life, where God brought his judgment upon them for something. There have been cities that have faced God's wrath and God's judgment, and countries that have faced the judgment of God. But there is coming a day of this judgment that the Apostle Paul was writing about here, when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, you know, with that in mind, he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, I believe that the "we" that he was referring to there was certainly himself. It was the other apostles. And I believe that it was also in reference to the Lord's church. We, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And we can find throughout the book of Acts, if you want to go and study the book of Acts, if you haven't already done that, in the book of Acts, you will find that we have a record in that book of the Apostle Paul's missionary work. We have a record of him going from place to place, traveling the miles, going from city to city, and making a very zealous attempt to reach out to people with the gospel, to preach the gospel in, you know, every opportunity that the Lord gave him to do so. And that's well documented and well recorded for us in the book of Acts. And we can read about those things that, you know, you couldn't read the book of Acts without coming away, you know, with the fact that Paul had a great zeal to reach people with the gospel. And I believe that the reason that Paul labored the way that he did, the reason that he was so diligent in working for the Lord, I believe that he explains to us in his writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 what was motivating him to do the things that he did. I believe that he is telling us, as he wrote to the Corinthians, that he was doing those things, he was doing that mission work, and he was doing what God had called him to do because he understood the terror of the Lord. He understood what was going to come upon people that were not saved, and he wanted them to know what they had to do in order to escape the terror of the Lord. And I believe today that there are still people that are working with that being the motivating factor in that which they do. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, he said, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Now, I don't know anything about being an apostle. You know, there was a day in the early years of the church, in what we might call the infancy of the church, there was a time when God had instituted the office of apostle, and there were certain men who occupied that office, and then when it was no longer necessary, that office ceased to exist, and there are no apostles now. And so I don't know what it means to be an apostle. I never experienced that, but I can relate to what Paul said when he said that he was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I do know what it is to preach the gospel. I do know what it is to experience having God lay his hand upon you and call you into the ministry, because that's what happened to me. And those, as far as I'm concerned, and it doesn't matter to me how archaic that people may think that has become, but to me, the ones that stand and preach the gospel to people ought to be those that God has called for that purpose. Nobody has the right to just make themselves something. It ought to be those that God has called for that purpose. And so, or make themselves a preacher, I guess I should say. Paul also in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul said, "I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach the word of God to people. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to let it be published, and I'm going to let it be known, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those that will believe." Listen to me, lost friend. You are blessed in hearing the gospel, because the gospel contains the good news. The gospel is that which concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the gospel. He is the good news. He is the one that came down from heaven and gave his life that we might be able to have a way to be saved. And so Paul said, I'm not ashamed to proclaim Christ. I'm not ashamed to preach Jesus, because that is God's means of salvation to everyone that will believe. And so I understand what Paul was saying being called to be a preacher. And I want to ask you again, if you're here today and you're lost and you're separated from God, I want to ask you today to please give attention and please give ear to the Word of God, because we're not dealing with earthly matters here today. We're not dealing with temporal matters today. We're dealing with that will affect the well-being of your immortal soul for all of eternity, friends. All of eternity. The condition of your soul ought to be to you the most important thing of all your existence. Where do you stand with God? In 31 years in the ministry, I believe that I have experienced what Paul was writing about here. I believe that you, as members of the Lord's church, have experienced in your hearts what Paul was writing about here, having a great desire to reach out to people with the great news, that great gospel news, having a desire to reach out to people and to try to persuade them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know the terror of the Lord. We know what they are facing. And as I stand before you today, I want you to understand, lost friend, that I'm not standing here today preaching this just because that it's my duty as a preacher. I'm not standing here today preaching this just because it's my duty as the pastor of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. And throughout the years of my ministry, I have stood many times, and I'm saying this today because this is the way that God has impressed my heart. It's what God does to me. And I have stood many times and proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with a heavy burden on my heart, and a great desire to see people, respond properly to the Word of God, and to receive the Word of God, and to believe the Word of God, and to seek Him and be saved. You know why? I promise you today, it's never been that I might receive some great reward. I've never done that so that people might be able to look at Brother Miller and say, look at the people that were saved under his preaching. That's never been my motivation. I can stand honestly before you today and tell you that that's never been my motivation. It's because I know what's going to happen to those that don't get right with God. I know what the end result is going to be for those who fail to believe in Him. I know that God has created two eternal places. I know that He has created a beautiful heaven for His people to dwell in eternally, for those who have been saved by His grace to have an eternal habitation when this life is over. But I also realize today that God prepared a place that the Bible calls hell for the devil and his angels, and that place burns. It's an eternal flame, and there are people that are tormented in that flame for all of eternity because they fail to get right with God. I know there's a day coming when the Bible tells me in the day of God's righteous judgment, I know there's a day coming when the books are going to be open, and we're going to be judged according to the things written in the books. And I know there's a time when the book of life is going to be opened and the names read, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and they're going to burn. Lost friend, if you stand before God in your lost condition, I pray that God will help you to believe this today. If you stand before God in your lost condition, you're going to be cast from His presence. You're going to hear these awful words: "Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you." You're going to be cast away from the love and the mercy of God forever and forever if you fail to repent of your sins and trust Him for the salvation of your soul. I've seen people in my lifetime that weren't preachers. I've seen people that were, you know, brothers and sisters in the church that were lay members, and I've seen those people with tears in their eyes and broken voices pleading with people to seek the Lord for the salvation of their soul. And I believe that the reason for that is that we know the terror of the Lord. Folks, listen, church, and we better always remember this ourselves, that there's a great, awful day coming for those who are lost and without God. And I pray that as God's people, that we never lose sight of that, that we redeem the time that we have to reach out to those who are lost and without God, because they're headed for an awful place of torment. I'm going to tell you something today. If you're here today and you're lost, or if you're here today and you're confused, I'm going to tell you today, you better be sure, you better know for sure about where you stand with the Lord. You better know for sure that you have had a real experience with God. You better know that there has been a time and place in your life where God convicted you of your sins and by His goodness led you to repentance, and you called upon the name of the Lord and you sought the Lord for the salvation of your soul until the Holy Spirit of God come and bore witness in your spirit that you had been saved by His grace. If you've got anything short of that, then you don't have enough. If you've got something, if some man convinced you somehow that you've been saved, if somebody, you know, got you to read something or to make some kind of decision with your mind, you don't have enough. It's a heartfelt salvation. You better have a real experience with God, because if you don't, when you stand before Him in that day, you won't have enough. You won't have enough. What it takes. I want to see people saved. What a wonderful thing if we get to see people saved today. We know that that'll be one or two or however many it is that have escaped the pollutions of an eternity without God. But I'm telling you, friends, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming back. He's coming back one day. That meek and lowly Jesus that once walked the earth is never coming back that way. He's never coming back to walk this earth again and to make a sacrifice for sin. One of these days, the skies are going to depart as a scroll, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in all of His power and all of His glory. The Bible says that the sun is going to become as black as sackcloth of hair, that the moon will become as blood, that the stars will fall from heaven like a fig tree casting off her untimely figs. I'm telling you what, the Lord is going to come in such power that He's going to disrupt everything. And when He comes, He's going to gather people from all the world before Him, from every nation before Him, and He's going to separate them. He's going to separate the lost from the saved. He's going to separate them. I know that that's coming. I know the terror of the Lord, and therefore try to persuade men to turn to the Lord. I want you to know something today. If you listen to the message and you just push it away and you just reject it, you're not rejecting me. You're not rejecting this church. You're pushing God. You're pushing God away. You're rejecting Him. He's going to be the one to judge you, not me, and not this church. You're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account unto Him for yourself. If you have not been saved, then I would urge you today to seek Him, because His great terror, friends, it's going to come. It's just as sure as anything can be. So I'm going to ask this today. We're going to have a song. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Let's ask God to help us, and let's do the best we can today to persuade men. Because, you know, I mean, listen, we know it's true. Some of these here that are lost and separated from God. Friend, this may be your last opportunity. We just don't know. We just don't know. We don't have any promise of a tomorrow. But you need to seek the Lord today. If you know you're lost today, you need to seek Him today for the salvation of your soul. Let's have a song.
321.
Everybody follow the Lord. Just please, just follow the Lord today. Do what God would have you to do today. Follow the Lord.